follow Jessica's journey, who did all the right things, and yet negative and unhealthy patterns kept repeating throughout her life. She didn't like what she was experiencing. She blamed others until one day she came to a huge and scary revelation that opened the path to her transformation and creating a life she loved. What negative and unhealthy patterns are you seeing in your life? If you don't like what you're experiencing, then be sure to listen to the end to discover key steps to create the life you love. Hi, I'm Rosie Aiello, and welcome to the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast. We talk about moving forward after experiencing narcissistic, controlling, demeaning, and abusive relationships. If you've been in one of those, like me, you know what I'm talking about. You're not alone. You've been through some painful stuff. Shame, blame, that inner bully inside you. My mission is to lift and inspire you. Give you the ways you can reclaim your voice and value, your confidence, and the courage to be the new empowered you. Jessica Maloney thought she did all the right things throughout her life, and in many ways she did, except in her personal relationships. We're going to talk with Jessica Maloney in a moment, and first, a mini masterclass. Today's topic is pulled from Freedom Fulfillment Pillar number 3, Values, another aspect to knowing what's important to you. You're listening to this podcast. There's a part of your life right now that you're not happy with. You want it to be different. You may think, hey, Rosie, I want my life to be different, a better life, a healthy relationship, but I don't know what to do. Or, Rosie, you're special. Your guest is special. You're lucky. My case is different. Or you can have a whole bunch of other different kinds of thoughts, but you're kind of getting the picture here. The result is the same. Your life stays the same. And if you want to have a different and better life, if you want to experience a healthy relationship, then my dear friend, you have to really want it, to be willing to do whatever it takes for as long as it takes until you get there. And you can get there. And no one said you have to do this alone. Or you have to know all the answers. I mean, you won't know the answers because you would have gotten there by now, right? If you knew the answers and you'd already done it, you would already be there. And that's why I'm here. And that's why I do this podcast. And that's why I bring my guests on so you can get support and everything else. But here's the key. Looking at yourself is uncomfortable. We don't like to do it. We don't want to admit to anything that we did that was quote unquote wrong. And it's truly, listen, it's not a matter of judging ourselves. I mean, that is not useful at all. But we do have to look at ourselves deeply. We just need to ask ourselves, what are we creating now? Not the past, right now. What is our life like now? What do I want to be different in my life now? You have to be willing. This is just some tough love, okay? Just how it is. Because myself and everybody who's been on this podcast, this is what we do. You have to be willing to go through the uncomfortable journey of self-discovery. You have to be willing to ask yourself the deep questions. You have to be willing to take ownership of the life that you want to create. Okay? Listen to what I said about ownership. You create your life. And I said to a client the other day, I said, you know, you have to be willing to fight for your own life. And she suddenly woke up and said, wow, I get it. I like that idea of fighting for me. I am a fighter. I'm worthy to fight for. I have to do the work. And that's right, right? She got it. Not that she hadn't been doing the work before, but it's just like every time there's like another layer or level of clarity, and it's like, oh my gosh. And so you do too. You have to do the work. So now watch out. If you come back with, but, and you finish the rest of the sentence, then ask yourself, do I have a pattern of making excuses and reasons, of finding reasons why I cannot? Because that's what that word bet will introduce. It will introduce a phrase of something negative. If you come back with, I can't, or I have never been able to, and then you finish whatever the reason is that you offer, this thinking will continue to keep you stuck. Now, these sentences, these thoughts seem so innocent and believable to you, but they are actually creating the opposite of what you truly want to create. I can help you for sure, but only if you want to be coached, only if you want to change, only if you are willing to fight for you, only if you're willing to feel uncomfortable. So here's something I want you to consider and what you'll hear my guests say to you. The idea of facing yourself and being uncomfortable during the transformation process, during all this changing, can be really scary and even daunting, right? It's like, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into? But listen, isn't staying the way you are, creating the life you're living now, feeling uncomfortable and fearful, isn't that a scary way to live? Is that the way you want to live? It's time to create a vision of who you want to be, how you want to show up, and how to live your life fully as being 100% you. And you're thinking, oh no, Rosie, no one's going to like 100% me. I hear that a lot from my clients. Well, you know, sweetheart, they really will, because it's really hard not to be yourself, because the real you keeps poking out. And when you come to love and appreciate and find worthy that 100% you, it's going to be, oh, well, this is so much better. So look, you've got this. You deserve this. So listen and follow through and tell yourself, this is my time. I am going to live my life. I'm going to step into this uncomfortable journey of finding me, the 100% me, and showing up as me and loving that person. Because let me tell you, she really, really is an amazing and cool person. You just don't see it, but I do. So you got this. I'm waiting to hear from you what you are going to do. And listen, for the next steps that you can get yourself started, there's no reason to wait now. This is your life ticking away. You deserve to live this life fully. I can't wait for you to listen to the rest of this podcast. It is so amazing. The only way to move forward and create an impact in your life is to know where you're at, where you want to go, and what's holding you back. Get started by taking the Freedom Fulfillment Quiz. In 4 short minutes, you'll discover where you are, where you want to be, and what you'll need to do. If you're serious about evolving into a new empowered you who can show up as that confident woman she once was or wants to be, then start now. Your life is waiting for you. Go to freedomfulfillmentquiz.com. A psychologist and coach, Jessica Maloney, guides her clients to transform their negative thought patterns so that they can end that self-sabotage, rediscover their worth, and create a new self-awareness. Thank you for downloading the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast, produced by the Love is Kind Network. We're just starting out. Please subscribe. Every 5-star review on iTunes and every share will help our mission to impact 100 million women worldwide who have lost their voice, value, and authenticity in narcissistic, controlling, and abusive relationships. Will you help us achieve that goal? Now, let's go from vulnerable to valuable with Jessica Maloney.
Well,
Welcome, Jessica. I'm so glad you are here to join us on Vulnerable to Valuable.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's just so important to have these conversations. It's so wonderful, the work that you do. Jessica Maloney is a psychotherapist, coach, speaker, and author. With a very hands-on approach, she has helped over 200 clients learn to challenge their thoughts and transform their patterns of negativity and self-sabotage to rediscover their self-worth. And isn't that the truth of the whole thing, right? Of what we go through. And we don't know that at the time. So tell us, just to give a little background, your own personal experience of going through this.
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head, right? When you're like in a space like this, we don't always realize that we're there. I personally spent majority of my life not knowing who I was.
Yes. You know,
I struggled tremendously with insecurity and honestly, like self-hatred. Like I hated myself. And I went through my teens and my 20s just trying to find people who could like me, finding people who will accept me, finding love. And I became what I thought I was supposed to be. I became what I thought other people wanted me to be in every scenario I found myself in, just to feel that like I could be deserving of love.
Mm.
I got myself to a place that I didn't even realize that I was completely lost.
Yeah.
I had no idea who I was, and entering into these relationships, trying to just feel like I was worthy of love. We completely sacrifice ourselves. We do things that maybe we know is not the right thing to do. We make excuses for others' behaviors.
Yes.
And we just accept things for what they are, because if I don't have somebody to love me, like, who am I? Like, I don't have anything then.
Yeah.
There are probably people listening thinking like, this sounds ridiculous, but like, this was the thought that just consumed me. I found myself in a relationship where I had allowed this to perpetuate. This was my cycle, that things would go badly and I would make excuses, or I would blame myself, or I would hold on to my insecurities and say, well, I've just got to tough it out because I can't do anything else. Like I'm not capable of doing anything else. I'm not capable of changing anything. And then you find yourself in these cycles, in these arguments. And that's where my life changed. I was in an argument that I had 100 times before.
What was it? What was the argument?
It was that like I'm not happy.
Mm.
I don't like the way that I feel. Like I need your help. I need this from you. I need you to like be understanding. Like, I need you to hear how I feel. And it wasn't about like, well, that's your feelings. You need to fix that. You need to figure that out. You need to get help. And I was like, but you're contributing to that. Like you're making me feel this way too. Like, yeah, I get that, but it's not always just us. There's a piece of it, right? But like, you're also making me feel this way. Like you're contributing to, like, please stop. Like you're hurting me. I would say like, please stop hurting me. Like, I just don't know what else to say. And I was completely depleted and just completely drained. And then he was saying this to me, like, this is your problem. You need to fix it. And I was like, just stop hurting me. Like you broke me. Like you've broken me. Like you've taken everything from me. I have nothing left. And I truly felt that way.
It's fascinating because a lot of the words you were saying, I could relate 100% to that. And a lot of the women I speak to, it's that same pattern. Now, when you were growing up, because I've spoken to a lot of women where they didn't realize that maybe a parent was narcissistic or abusive, it was just maybe subtle. And then when they got into adulthood and then they had these relationships and they kind of, oh, that's what was happening. Can you relate to that? Or was that your case? It wasn't for me. I didn't have that. I had a sort of a different one, but I'm just curious.
That specifically is not my case. However, growing up, my parents would fight a lot.
Okay.
And my mom would say things similar to that to my dad. But it was a case of, I think, my parents just not getting along and my mother having different needs than my dad needed. Or my dad had, rather, you know, and they just didn't get along. So there was fighting in my household. But as far as like narcissistic behavior goes, like, I would not say that that was the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I grew up in fighting that like, it's normal, right? As much as like, we can say or try to teach other people things are not okay, when you keep seeing the behaviors and you're exposed to it over and over again, then like, you tell me this is not normal, but this is all I see.
Right.
Things that we can learn, like through our hearing or our audio, like our audio abilities, but then through modeling, I think yes. is how a lot of people pick most things up.
So true, right? Because, and especially the younger you are, when you're young, especially, you know, you get that, it all goes into your subconscious and you don't, it's just like, that's what it is. So, and it's interesting, you're like, you were probably modeling your mother, not even knowing, it's like, you're hurting me. I can just kind of, the way you explained it, I can see how we keep continuing these patterns, right? These unhealthy patterns. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, so then you have that moment. Okay. You're having that, this example of the fight. And it was like your turning point. So then what happened that made you shift?
It's like one of those moments in your life where you remember like vividly, like that wave of adrenaline, like coursed through my entire body. Like my body was tingling in anger and fear and anticipation, because like in that moment, I was like, oh my God, like if I'm ever going to get better, if I'm ever going to feel better, like I'm going to have to be the one that saves me. Mm. I can't rely on somebody else to do it. Like I can't live this way anymore. The idea of changing is terrifying. The idea of like trying to do something different is terrifying, which is why a lot of people stay where they're at. But in that moment where I felt completely broken, that I didn't have anything else to lean on besides myself. And, you know, my goal was to not have other women or people experience that. But I don't know. I think that sometimes we need those defining moments to recognize that, like, I have to start testing my skills. I have to see what I can actually do and what I'm capable of. Because yeah, the idea of changing is scary, but the idea of living my life this way is also scary.
I swear, when you talk, it's like, yeah, I had exactly the same thought. You know, it was just a different thing, but it takes a lot of courage. And I was thinking, you know, I can't live my life this way. I was in a highly abusive relationship for 25 years. I just can no longer live my life this way. And I want to live my life. I have to depend on myself. Just like you said, I'm the one who has to do the change. And it is friggin' scary because it's scary. Like, you don't know, well, okay, what does that really mean? What do I do? So it's just like you're talking, it's like your mouth is moving, but it's like my mouth is like, okay, the same thing. And it's just interesting because I'm so glad you're saying it this way for women to hear. They probably have the same fears. It's like, that's why they don't change because, and you don't like to say, well, it's, you know, it's his fault. It's his fault that I'm this way. Right. Mm-hmm. And we can go there. Sure. And we can stay there, but the only way for us to really experience love and to experience this life fully is it's got to go within us. We have to know who we are.
Yes. There's a beautiful quote by Lucille Ball. She says, love yourself first and everything else falls into line. You really need to love yourself to get anything done in this world.
Yeah.
And I just resonated with that so much.
So now what was your path to creating your freedom?
Well, I mean, listen, it was like one of those rocky uphill battles where you're like scratching and clawing to get your way out. And then you're like, oh yes. My God, it's worth it.
Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, a lot of just like internal work, like this idea of self-love, like if you would have like talked to me about self-love 10 years ago, I would have been like, yeah, it's a bunch of like nonsense. Like you and your hippies need to go to the beach or wherever it is and like play self-love over there.
Right.
But having gone through the journey, like you realize that that's an actual concept. Like you can actually love yourself. Like you can love yourself enough. You don't necessarily need somebody else to love you in that way that like you can take care of you. And like anybody else's love or like, it's like one of those awesome bonuses that you get. My journey was, like I said, it was dirty and it was a lot of reflection work and being able to look at yourself in these situations, look at yourself in the mirror and say like, okay, like, yeah, like you said, we can sit here and talk about, well, he did this and I blame him for this and he made me feel this way. Yeah, we could do that all day. But I can also say like, okay, like here are the things that got me here. Here are the choices that I made. Here are the red flags that I ignored. And here is the person that I want to be. So identifying your values, I think is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Identifying the things that you do like about yourself. identifying the things that you want to change and creating an action plan as far as like making those changes. I remember when I started like advocating for myself and like saying like, all right, well, this is something that I want to do. I'm going to do this thing. And like, I would write scripts for myself. I would write, okay, like this is what we're going to say. And this is why we're going to say it. And like, I would read it to the person, you know, so that I could say like, okay, well, this is how like this thing made me feel. And I don't appreciate the way that you said that. I would be trembling and shaking the whole time. And then like, you have that anxiety, but once you start doing it and you start recognizing that, like, it's okay that I deserve to be treated with respect.
Yes.
It's okay. It's okay. I know. And it's like, believe this. I spent most of my life hating myself. Now I think I deserve respect. Hell yeah. I mean, I deserved it the whole time. I just didn't know it.
It's so true, Jessica. And I agree with you. I work with my clients too. One of the first things is on values. And for me, it's like, I never looked at my life. I often say, oh, I just picked up values. Like I picked up seashells from the seashore. I didn't have any awareness of what my values were. I didn't even ever think of what was important for me or what I deserved. And so if you're totally unaware, you just take what people give you as opposed to showing up of how you want to be in this life and what you deserve in this life and that you can get what you want in this life. And I think that was such, of course, that was not an overnight experience, right?
Never.
These are not overnight experiences, but man, this is the purpose of this podcast is to create that awareness that as much as, you know, you may be resisting making those changes, that's what's going to bring you the joy, the self-love, and other love. That's what's going to make that difference. And when you go through it, it's like, wow, you can't go back and you just feel so much fuller in your life. Mm-hmm. And I can see that in your face too.
Very much so. Yeah. We align on a lot of our like feelings through our process, because when it comes down to it, like no matter what the situation is, I think a lot of people can relate to the feelings that like, I'm in a place where I don't want to be. And I was even thinking, I was listening to a training this morning and I was thinking about this idea of like, I mean, listen, I grew up admiring like Cinderella and Snow White. What do we learn there, right? Like your mission is to find your Prince Charming. You know, your mission is to like live this life where you can meet this amazing guy and get married and have this beautiful wedding and then maybe have a baby. But I was like, oh my God, like, did I ever plan out the rest of my life?
Did I ever plan out the rest of my life?
That was like the goal, right? And then, but like, do you think about the things that you want in these marriages? Do you think about the type of person that you want to be? Do you think about the type of relationship that you want to have when you have these kids? And you're like, I feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm speaking, you know, too generally, but a lot of girls in maybe my generation grew up with this idea of Prince Charming. And now little girls have like Elsa and like all these other like fierce, like
power girls. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's phenomenal. But again, like just this idea of like, we grow up to have Prince Charming, but what if that doesn't happen? Or what if he's not Prince Charming? Or what if like the life after that is not what we expected it to be? Mm-hmm. Who is it that you are? And what are the things that you want in addition to that? Like, it's okay to maybe want Prince Charming, but like, I think it's important to know who you are going into any relationship. And listen, that could be a business relationship. That could be, you know, a friendship that like, hey, listen, I know where I stand and I know who I am and I know what I want. And this is the type of life that I want to live. And I want to make sure that whoever I choose to kind of be part of my journey kind of wants similar things. But again, mm-hmm. like the person I was 10, 20 years ago is a lot different than the person that I am today.
Thank goodness, right? That's just it. Doing this work, doing the reflection, learning who you are, because, you know, you said in the beginning, you were just lost. So mm-hmm. it was that journey of really finding yourself. It's a journey of me finding who I was. I didn't even know how I was. And I'm a lot older than you. And you talk about Prince Charming now. That's what we had. Yeah. I remember being in kindergarten, right? And I don't remember what the boys were doing. the girls, we all had like little playhouse, right? And Monday is laundry day and Tuesday is big bread day, whatever it was, you know, and the little poems, girls are sugar and spice and all that's nice, right? So we're trained, you know, like, oh, this is what we do. And the boys are probably all beating each other up. I don't know. But how the culture really does affect how we grow up as well. Besides our family, it's this culture. And we become the people pleasers, we become the peacemakers. All the women I know, like yourself, are all smart, they're dynamic, everything. And yet there's a side of us that still is like this little girl who believes she needs to be saved because she can't stand up for herself in her own relationship. And like, it's wrong. There's guilt if you're voicing yourself.
Tremendous guilt. Yeah. And listen, I think that a lot has changed, right? Like I remember like the women in my family talking about like how like women were sent to college to find a husband, right? That like, I was always told like, you go to school, you get good grades, you go to college, you get a good job. But again, what happens to life after that? Somebody forgot to tell me what to do next. You know, like, yeah. I did everything right. Like I did that. I went to college. I went to grad school. I got a job. It wasn't great, but then I got a better job.
You're right.
You know, I did everything right. Like, how come my life isn't right?
Yeah. I checked all the boxes, right? Even for the guy, I checked all, you know, the boxes, and you went and you talked about this earlier. I don't think I was tapping into my feelings. I was ignoring her. I was making excuses for my life and for everything else because of this whole thing of settling. And when I came back, it was like, well, you don't need to settle. And I really didn't even know what that meant. Mm. I mean, I knew what it meant intellectually. I know what the sentence meant, but I didn't know what it really meant. Do you understand what I'm saying? Can you talk to that?
Like to settle?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I feel like that can relate to so many different things, right? Like to settle is to accept, right? To accept things for maybe how they are, or to accept like what you get, even if it's not perfect. And like, there's a piece of let's be flexible in there, right? Let's not be so rigid. And then there's a piece of like knowing your non-negotiables, knowing the things that like you're not willing to compromise on. And that goes back to knowing yourself. And that's such a huge, broad, like concept. Like I'll keep saying it because like knowing yourself is important, but there are so many layers to knowing yourself. And it took me years to get through all of them, which is like, you know, they say failure is the best teacher. Like, yes. Listen, I've been through every level. So I definitely learned some things along the way about what that means. But the knowing yourself piece, you know, who you are, what your non-negotiables are, and like what you're willing to compromise on and what you're not willing to compromise on. Like, these are the things that I deserve. And then we can go into the next level. Like, yes, I deserve respect. But define respect.
Yes.
Like your definition of respect and mine could be very different.
Every episode, I offer a mini masterclass on the 11 Freedom Fulfillment Pillars. You can get the guidebook to all 11 Freedom Fulfillment Pillars right now. Simply go to vulnerabletovaluable.com and hit the subscribe button to get your copy. The only way to move forward and have an impact in your life is to get awareness of where you're at and discover what's holding you back. Following the 11 pillars, I was then able to develop strategies to create my business, become an international award-winning entrepreneur, speaker, and author, find the love of my life. And I use these pillars every day to create a fulfilled life. These are the same ones that I use with my clients. And now they are yours free. Go to vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe. And we're back with Dr. Jessica Maloney.
When we talk about like positivity, there's that toxic level of positivity, right? But then there's like not enough. So it's like this weird kind of like matrix that I think that we all live in, that like every person is different. But there is a baseline. And I think that that's what we have to know. That baseline, like, this is what I need. This is the type of conversation that I need. This is how I need somebody to be communicating with me when we're happy, when we're angry. These are the types of things that I like to do that I'm going to need somebody else in my life who likes these things as well. Because I don't want to feel limited. I don't want to feel that my life is separate from another person. I'm not going to settle for something that like is good, but doesn't make me happy. Then again, we have to define happiness.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And knowing too that our happiness really is self-defined and self-generated. And depending on the other person to give you happiness is like the pattern for destruction, really. That's what we were doing in my abusive. Well, it's like, why are you treating me this way? You know, that's not, and I didn't like how he was treating me, but I wasn't saying anything. My voice was completely lost. So I wasn't standing up. I had recognized those signs before we got married, right? Hindsight's always great.
Yeah.
My intuition was zero. My gut, you know, my gut was talking to me, but I didn't know what it was really saying. To my brain, it was garbled. It's like, what? What? I don't know. This guy's got he's checking all the boxes. What are you talking to me about? Right.
Yeah. It's interesting because you hear about this battle between like your head and your heart. Right. And like, listen, like sometimes my head and my heart have battled and I've chosen the wrong side, but the gut, somebody introduced that to me not too long ago that like, yes, your head and your heart are going to have these battles, but don't listen to either of them. Listen to your gut, because your mind is going to tell you to go with what's familiar, because that's what it likes. It likes patterns. It likes familiarity. It's like, okay, like this is familiar. I can deal with this. I know how to manage this, even if it's crazy.
Yeah. Right.
Even if it's really out of control. I know this is familiar to me. And then your heart is like, oh, well, like I can fix him. It'll be okay. Like you can do like, oh, I just love him so much. He's so cute. Whatever. But then your gut's like, girl, like get it together. Like, this is what like you need to start like really thinking about. You're feeling something, acknowledge it. And that's part of getting to know yourself, right? Like know the feelings, know what it is that like all these pieces of your body are trying to tell you, because your mind and your body are so closely connected that like, you know, I feel like, listen, if we're going to pick one of the three beasts to manage, like go with your gut, trust your gut, like try to figure out what the gut is telling you first before you go with your head or your heart.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that, because we have all these parts of our bodies and we think we're supposed to be using our head. And I remember, if a lot of women are like me, I was very, can't even remember now, I was very A, you know, very logical, you know, analytical, very, very analytical. So, and I came from that kind of a background in corporate finance. So it was like, okay, let's just analyze the sucker out of this. Well, that's really easy to do. It's really easy to check all those boxes, but just because they check the boxes, it doesn't mean it's right. And even for yourself, as you're transforming into this, is to know how do I feel through the whole process?
Yeah.
Right? How am I feeling? Is this really the right journey for me, and growing in that journey?
For sure. And it's interesting that you say that, right? Because I'm very opposite from you. I am very much the emotional side. I am very much an empath. I mean, I work in mental health. So like I'm surrounded by emotions all the time. That like my emotions have always led me. That like there was a point in my life where I was like, oh, if I could have just been more like you, if I could have just been more logical,
I could have been more just like you. Right.
Right. Well, the grass is always greener, but like we can come from all different walks of life and find ourselves in the same positions.
Yeah.
And listen, like I've seen some like really tremendous women come out of really horrific conditions where they go into shelters, you know, or they, you know, find themselves in worse positions, but they lead them to better places, you know? And I think that that's what scares a lot of people, that like, I don't want to be in a worse position, but sometimes things have to get worse before they get better.
Sure. Yeah. I want to shift to in your own personal life, and then maybe with your clients too, and I'll add, is what are some of the characteristics, let's say, of a healthy relationship? Because one thing I've discovered is like, I had to define that for myself. Mm-hmm. I was able to define and articulate what were some of the unhealthy relationship characteristics, because I think it's important to know. I think it's important to know both, especially like if you grew up or you didn't have the right modeling or the right personal experiences of what should it be? You know, what does it look like? Because that will help these women look forward, so they're not, again, settling, because they think, well, that's just the way it is. If you don't know that there is something that is a healthy way of being in a relationship. So what are some of your definitions or characteristics of a healthy relationship that you can share with others?
Sure. Well, to go off what we were just speaking of, like, try to get in touch and trust your gut, you know, because it is going to guide you places. The key concept, I think, which I'm sure everyone's heard before, is communication. Mm-hmm. But there are factors of communication. It is how we say our words. We want to be direct and we want to talk about ourselves, right? Not mm-hmm. like you're an a-hole. Like right. that's direct.
But right. it's not the I statements.
Yeah. Hey, like, can I talk to you? Like, is this a good time? I feel this way. Or, hey, when this happened, I thought this. Maybe next time you could do it differently or you could say it differently. And then being able to also receive information like this, mm-hmm. you know, and being able to hear and take accountability. You know, a lot of times in my life and with couples that I've dealt with, we're automatically defensive. It's mm-hmm. so easy because when somebody like is accusing you of something, even if they're not doing it like in a mean way, I didn't do that. I didn't say it like that. Right. I didn't make you feel that way. Well, I mean, listen, you can't tell me how you made me feel, right? You didn't mean to, maybe, right? But that's what we have to be mindful of, you know, that like when we're met with criticism, that, okay, what of this can I take on? This is part of getting to know yourself, the accountability factor. Like, okay, you're not responsible for everything that happens to you. You're not responsible for every argument that you've ever had. You're not responsible for every bad thing that you've had, but we've all played a part in it because this is your life. You are the main character of your life.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be things that happen around us, but okay, how did I get to this position where this thing happened around me? You know, what are the contributors that I kind of put into this situation? Again, we don't have to be at fault for everything. But say, okay, I could see where you're coming from. I didn't intend to make you feel that way, or I didn't mean to come off that way, or that's not what I meant by that word, but here's how I can clarify that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the defense mechanisms, they're built into us, right? So like they're there to protect us ideally, but sometimes they just kind of like create more conflict because it's like, I have to fight against this thing because when you accuse me, it doesn't feel good. The walls go up, the defense mechanisms come out and we're like, no, like I gotta get back at you, right? So communication, I think, is a big factor, and that's direct and effective communication through your words. And then the listening and receiving part of it, you know, and body language is part of communication too. The other things I think are the non-negotiables. So like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Patty Stanger. She's dubbed like the Millionaire Matchmaker. She had like a show on Bravo, but I really love her. She is like an alpha female and she's very much in like the dating realm of things. And she speaks a lot to women about your non-negotiables. What are the five things that like, no matter what, like you are not willing to compromise on, right? Like I won't date a smoker. Like I don't care if you smoke on occasion. I don't care if you smoke only on the weekends or when you're drunk. Like, sorry, like that's my non-negotiable and I'm not willing to compromise on it. So like, you know, you meet some guy and it's like, oh, well, I only smoke here and there. Like, well, listen, hey, maybe that's my non-negotiable and I'm not willing to compromise on that. You have to stay true to yourself, even if like, maybe they check off all the other boxes, right?
Yes.
So like that's an easy one to measure sometimes, but that's you knowing your values. That's you knowing your worth and that you deserve respect.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing those. Those are really great. Yeah, I think one thing that for me, because I had lost my voice, for me, it was actually the work of in my relationship of actually asking for things, voicing myself. So if something he did bothered me, it took a lot of courage for me to say, okay, you said this, what did you really mean? So I started to practice, instead of making assumptions on what they meant, I started to ask him, well, what do you mean? And I would say 99% of the time, I was wrong. So it just showed the assumption I made was completely wrong. And if I just stayed in my old world, I would have just been tight-lipped. I would have regressed. I would have just turned in, you know, and then there would have been the resentment. They could feel the energy. It would have ruined the relationship. So I kept telling myself, yeah. So it's like, what's the highest good of this relationship? Okay. The highest good of this relationship is for me to show up my authentic self. Okay. I have to ask about this. And then all of that helped improve the relationship because that was a good, healthy way to communicate.
Right.
I felt he was accusing me when he was just like, that's just what it is. You know, it was like, you know, there's a lot of food here or whatever, you know, just,
well, I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah, right. It's just like, what? I'm a good cook. How can you say, you know, it's like I'm Italian. Of course there's a lot of food.
Right. Right. But it doesn't have to be a bad thing. And that I like what you said too, because we are so capable of coming up with like these scenarios that don't even exist in our own heads.
Yeah.
And if you don't ask for clarification, you're harboring this resentment over this person saying this thing about your food or your cooking that they didn't actually even say.
Yeah, that was exactly what it was. And I for me, the other, you know, other signs of healthy relationships were that they're willing to listen. I mean, they really listen and they take action. So much of my life was, you know, I would say something and they wouldn't listen and they wouldn't take action on their behavior. And even though it may not be immediate action, you can tell, you know, they process it and they come back, they'll apologize, but they apologize in a very sincere way, not just, oh, I'm saying the words, but okay, I didn't recognize I was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is really, you know, is really important. It's really helped me in my relationship. I mean, I'm in a really beautiful, kind, respectful, loving relationship now, where, you know, 10 years ago, it wasn't even a concept in my brain because I was so afraid. But I think that's the other thing I just want to share is that there are many kind men out there. There are actually more kind men than there are not kind men, but we've been in this world where we think that's all we're going to attract. And yeah. I think that's a major mindset shift, thinking shift that has to happen for women. If first they got to self-love, and then if they want to go out, to realize that there are a lot of kind men out there.
Right. And like, you know, you touched on like the engagement factor, right? Like if I'm talking to you, I want you to be engaged. You know, when we're together, I want you to be engaged, you know, putting the phone down, hearing what I have to say and acknowledging that you hear me. You know, I think that helps us understand that the other person hears. And even the idea of taking yourself from this toxic, unhealthy relationship and maybe going into a new one. Like this is maybe your first opportunity to practice all of the things that you
practice. Yes, I love that.
You have to be kind to yourself through all of this. And it will be very easy and tempting, maybe not easy, but it will be very tempting for you to revert back to the old ways because it's familiar, right? It's what the brain knows how to do, right? Like, oh, somebody said something to me, like, was he criticizing my cooking? He didn't just say that. Like, oh my God. Like, okay, wait, I'm sorry. I just need to double check. Is that what you meant? Right. And then finding the courage in you instead of letting your brain go down that line that's very clear and like scorched out in your brain, like, this is how we go now, to creating a new neural pathway. To say like, I can start thinking differently and I can actually ask for clarification or express my concern about what just happened so that I can create a whole new experience without running through my head about something that wasn't even real.
Exactly. I think if women just listen to this over and over, this is such an important conversation we're having because we just keep doing that, but it takes practice. It takes that awareness. So speaking of that, so how can our listener find out more about you?
Oh, I would love to connect with anybody who resonated with this conversation because this is such a valuable conversation. I'm just loving it, really. You can find me at jessicamaloney.net. It's Jessica, J-E-S-S-I-C-A, and Maloney is M-O-L-O-N-E-Y.net. I'm also on all social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, at the Jess Maloney. And then there's an email on my website. You can contact me there too.
Fabulous. Anything else you'd like to share about what you can offer or anything?
If you go over to the website now, I have a couple things on there you can kind of grab right away. One thing specifically that I think might be really valuable is I have like a confidence building tip sheet. Just kind of help with that self-discovery thing. That's a total freebie. So just go over there and grab that. If there's something specific that you need, I would be happy to kind of like guide you. If you want to just shoot me a DM on Instagram at the Jess Maloney, I can formulate something real quick for you too, because I'm just so passionate about this subject that I know that there are so many other women out there like you and I, Rosie, and they're just maybe stuck or they're trying to discover this piece of who they are. And like I said, it's such a broad concept that ideally, if I can shorten somebody's process, great. If I can make the road a little bit less rocky and slippery, great. You know, that has become my mission. And, you know, like it's so interesting. There's another quote. It's like, the two most important days of your life are the day that you're born and the day you find out why. And like, as much as we talked about not knowing what happens after you do everything the right way.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe we discover it along the process. So wherever you are in your process right now, you're going to go to amazing, beautiful places that you never even thought were possible before because your brain couldn't see them.
Yeah. But
the lens that you view the world is completely shifting. It's like you're in the eye doctor and they're like, you're blurry. Wait. Oh, oh, now I see. And that's the journey that you're on right now. So you're going to get there. And if I can support you in any way, I am here.
Oh, thank you. That I love that. Thank you so much. So now, what does love is kind mean to you, Jessica?
Oh, so many things, you know, so many things. Love is kind. That love should be a thing that just fills you, that it can create this like softness around you, that it doesn't have to be lust. It doesn't have to be infatuation, that it can just be this general like comfort, almost like sinking into like one of those big fur, like beanbag chairs where you can just like sit and it's okay. You don't have to live on edge. That you have somebody to help you up when you're ready to get up, that you can just exist knowing that your cup is full and it's full enough to overflow, and that anybody else who comes along your way can take from your overflow because your love is yours. And even if people take and don't give back, maybe that's okay. We know who they are now and they stay on the outside. But my love is still comfortable. My love is still taking care of me.
Mm.
That I can be just still here and content because it's mine and I possess it. And I feel like that's the greatest kindness that anybody can give to themselves, you know, and that we can seek in others. That if you're somebody that I want to allow into my love life, then you need to be kind of creating the same feeling for me.
Oh, love that. I love these definitions. I love what you just shared. Well, thank you so much for your time, for your brilliance, for your tips. It's going to be so helpful for those who are listening to it. So have a fabulous day. We'll see you next time.
You too. Take care.
That's it for today's episode. Head on over to vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe to the show. When you subscribe, you'll instantly get a special ebook. And when you subscribe to the show and post a review to iTunes, you'll be entered into a drawing to win a free consult with me. Plus, your subscribing will help our mission to inspire 100 million women worldwide to heal and move forward from their abusive relationships. That's vulnerabletovaluable.com, the podcast that guides you to reclaim your voice, value, confidence, and courage.